1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Just a little update or just a little reminder of things to come on the Phil Hendry Show. Friday night, it's countdown to kickoff with Joe Dickhead and the Professor. That's right, the National Football League season 2004 is getting close. Joe Dickhead and the Professor will be with us to countdown to kickoff, countdown and review events leading up to the kickoff of the 2004 season. Tomorrow night, we're very happy to inaugurate the Tim Robbins Report. The great Hollywood actor will be on our program to talk about what nefarious and evil things are being done to him and Susan by the Bush administration, and he'll be updating us on that. Is that tonight, Tim Robbins? That's tonight. Thank you very much, Chris. That's tonight. So we have him on the phone tonight. I thought he was out of town. I thought he was with Ben Affleck down at the Casa de la Conta down in Mexico. All right, so that'll be tonight. And then tomorrow night, it's Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004. With me this evening is Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor. Mr. Bozell, your business is construction, sir?
That's correct, yes, sir. Since 1996, when we come out to California and started a construction contracting business, doing mostly commercial construction.
You have a litigation pending or a threatened litigation against Tyndale Public Pool in Corona. It is a public swimming pool?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Now, as I understand it, some of the people involved, not only the manager at that public pool, also your wife, tell me what was happening. Now, you were talked to by somebody at that pool two weekends ago when you were there with your family, right?
Yeah, that is correct. And I tried to make the point that, first of all, I want to mention, Mr. Hendry, as a way of telling you about this piece of litigation, is that my personal habits, my personal eating habits and drinking habits are pretty healthy. I mostly, all I drink is water. My diet is very good. I eat mostly fruits, vegetables, very light chickens and fish dishes. So while I do not certainly endorse, nor do I I'm recommending that people relieve themselves in a public pool for any reason whatsoever, when I did, and I did mention my wife that I did on the date in question, which was on July 15th, I want the record to show that I drink very pure waters and I eat very pure foods.
And the reason why you mention that is because you know, they tell you do not urinate in public pools, and you did?
I did, sir.
Now, why would you do that? Why not just go over to the restroom?
But, well, as I told my attorney, and I also told the manager, Mr. Jim Glospel.
This was the man we talked to?
From the pool.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. Is because it was not convenient to me where my wife and I were sitting, and we were with my son's, my brother's son, my nephew. It was just not convenient to me. So I waded down into the shallow end and did then at that time, at that accorded time and place pee, in the pool and everything. And my question really is twofold. I drink a lot of water. I eat vegetables. I don't have urine that's infectious. Can I sue the public parks department of the city for not allowing me access? Because my attorneys advised me that I do have a case. And I'm not the usual kind of swimmer that they get. So our lawsuit is based on the Civil Rights Act of 1965.
And now, I saw where you're basing, and you got to understand now, sir, there's going to be people, you're basing your right to urinate in a public pool on the 1965 Civil Rights Act. Why? Because of the public accommodation?
That is correct, sir. The provision in the 1965, I was denied public accommodation, yes, sir.
But the public accommodation for that kind of thing is a restroom.
And as I tried to explain to Mr. Glospel, who is the public pool manager, he came over and asked me in front of my own wife if I had gone in the pool, and I told him no, I had not. And my wife then later told me I was lying to the man, and I said that he would never have come over had she not made her public comment. And
well, your wife had said to you, you shouldn't do that, Steve, right? And it was overheard by a lifeguard?
That is correct. But I want to make this point, and it's a very important point. We have a lot of people coming to our public pool from out of the area. They bring their babies with them. They bring their young people with them. They have them swimming in the pool. And you know that these individuals who come from out of the area, their children are going in the pool and everything like that. And yet these individuals who come in from out of the area are allowed there. But I, the one time that I did, I was publicly humiliated by the pool manager, as well as my wife.
And well, you're saying that you should not have been spoken to by the man that way because you assured him that you drank nothing but pure water and so on and so forth. And that it was, now, to most people...
That's correct.
But to most people, anybody that goes in a pool, it's infectious, okay? It's unhealthy.
Well, I understand, but because I had explained that to these individuals, they were well aware that I drink an enormous amount of water, so that my pee is more pure than anybody's, and yet I got talked to like this. So your question's a little bit irrelevant. And I was approached by this Mr. Glospel. I was asked not to use the pool for that purpose, even though you have these people coming in from out of the area. And I told him, because most of these people are jealous that my urine is pure. And you know the old saying, they say, so you don't think your stuff doesn't smell, so jealousy's a big factor.
So you feel that you ought to be allowed to do this in a public pool, even though it's against the law?
No, I do not feel I should be allowed to, but I don't think that I should be castigated because mine's pure because of the amount of water I drink.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. This gentleman relieved himself in a public pool and was spoken to by the manager, and you tried to tell him you drink a lot of water and you eat very pure foods and you do not have an elimination that is infectious, although you don't know that for sure, do you?
Well, sir, I take a great deal of good care to myself. I do yoga. I attend meditation classes and so on and so forth.
Now, you mentioned the people that come in from out of the area. Were any of these people spoken to by the lifeguard?
I didn't see any of them spoken to by either the lifeguard or Mr. Glospel, the pool manager, no. And they come in from out of the area with their babies. And
when you say they come from out of the area, what do you mean? So you live in the Corona area?
I live in the Corona area, yes, sir.
And these are individuals that do not live in Corona?
No, they do not. They are from out of the area.
How do you know that?
Excuse me?
How do you know that?
Because they are, certain type of people, you can tell. Most of the people that live in the Corona area are mostly descendants of European Americans, and these are individuals who come from out of the area. Now, they have their babies and their little ones, and you know full well. And I went to the pool manager, and I also went to the city council. I said, you know full well, when they put a baby out in the water, you know what the baby's doing. Why don't they talk to them about it?
The reason why this lifeguard came over and mentioned it to you is because your wife had said, Steve, don't go in the pool.
And he overheard her, yeah. But that...
I mean, he never would have said anything had your wife... Did you say you're going to go into the pool?
I had mentioned to my wife countless times. April is fully aware of the fact that I drink pure rainwater and I eat broccolis and hive. I eat two kiwis a day, which it's a kiwi fruit, purifies the body. She was very much aware of my diet. She's very much aware of the purification processes that I do. And yet she says, still, don't go in the pool. And she said it loud enough for him to hear. When he came over and talked to me, I said, okay, you're talking to me, even though I drink rainwater and I eat purification-type foods, and you haven't said anything to these people over here. And I pointed to these people. They were over over near the Southside Cabana, and I said that these people come from out of the area.
All right. I think you're assuming, sir, that because there's babies in the water, that the babies are relieving themselves in the water.
Well, I think it goes without reason, Mr. Hendry. There isn't a baby that's been put in the pool yet that can't control its bladder. And
well, a lot of these babies, for whatever reason, I shouldn't say for whatever reason. These are infants.
Yeah, because they're infants, you know full well that they're just going man like crazy, and no one's saying anything to these people, and they're from out of the area. And
unfortunately or fortunately, whatever the reason may be, nobody suspected that. They came up to you.
Well, that's what's unfair.
All right. Your complaint against the city of Corona and your complaint against the Public Parks Department there is based on the Civil Rights Accommodation Act of 1965, to wit, public accommodation is being denied to you.
And the Civil Rights Act of 1965... applies to a lot of these people that come from out of the area, see?
And so are you saying these people are black?
No, I'm not saying that. No, sir. You can just tell they come from out of the area.
And well, you said that most of the people that you know that use this pool are, quote, descendants of European Americans?
That is correct.
Which implies that the people from out of the area are descendants of who?
They are simply not people that come from the Corona area. That's all I need to tell you. And I will say this. You take a baby, you put him in the water, and man, if that kid isn't doing it, I swear, then there isn't a God in heaven, and yet I get singled out. Now, I agree, the lifeguard wouldn't have said anything to me.
See, it was your wife that opened her mouth.
Yes, sir, it was. And the lifeguard would not have said anything to me had April not said anything. And that's why I also asked my attorney, is it actionable against my wife? And he said it was not a good idea, or she said it was not a good idea to sue my own wife, even though I wanted to. But
and who is your attorney?
Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California.
Dolores Blazingame. All right, this is a, well, you said you had a twofold question, and you wanted to make sure that, is your wife liable for any kind of legal action for humiliating you?
That is correct.
Why do you call that humiliating? Because she mentioned it?
She says to me, oh, Steve, you can't go in the pool. Like she might as well have just gotten out of Bullhorn and just broadcast it to all of the world. Hey, Steve, don't pee in the pool. And she knows full well of the distilled water that I drink, of the pure broccoli and the cauliflower vegetables and so on.
I'm not familiar with these kinds of vegetables. Do they purify one's water elimination, if you will?
If you drink a lot of water, Mr. Henry, and then you go ahead and go and do your usual number one, it should come out just as clean as stream water.
But it's being filtered still through the human body through the various chemicals and various toxins. The whole purpose of that is to rid the body of toxin.
Yes, but if the body's been rid of toxin, then all it is that the purifying of the water.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This man, he relieved himself in a public pool. They approached him about it. He felt that he was humiliated because he drinks lots of water, so it isn't that bad. And yet, there's a bunch of people at the other end of the pool who come from, quote, out of the area, and I don't know what he means by that, whose babies are in the pool, and they haven't been talked to at all. Anyway, he is suing the city on the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 allows people public accommodation, meaning no matter what your color, sex, race, you should be allowed to use the same restrooms as everybody else. I don't know anything about relieving yourself in a pool, but he said because he drinks nothing but rainwater and eats broccoli and kiwi fruit, his urine is purer. He also thinks there's a jealousy factor involved where the lifeguard, the pool manager, and some members of the city council may be attacking him because, quote, his urine is purer than theirs. 1-800-449-8686. It's a complicated case. We'll get back to Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California in a moment. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's summertime and we're using pools. We're using public pools or private pools. In the case of my guest, Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, he was using the Tyndale Public Pool in Corona. His wife and his nephew were there. You admit, and I will tell you this much, Mr. Bozell, the first person I've ever known who admits that he actually relieved himself in a public pool. So,
well, I'm not looking for any kudos.
Well, I mean, but that's unusual in and of itself. But you're admitting it because you say it's not you relieving yourself in a pool. I guess you're saying is not as bad as the average person.
Well, no, sir, it is not, and I'm not holding myself up to be more special than anybody. But I drink, as I say, distilled boiled waters. I eat various purifying and detoxifying fruits, and I do yoga, and they're very pure and. And I think the city of Corona, California, as my attorney, Dolores Blazingame, has outlined it to me, especially Ron Hudson, who is on the city council, is very much jealous of the fact that I have a pure, you know, pee or uriner, if you will, than they do. And I think that's at the heart of a lot of this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Clyde. Clyde, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead with your comment.
Hey, I've been listening to this conversation on the radio, and I don't call into these things, but the longer this man talks, the more obvious it is that he is a total absolute ass. He's got no idea.
Sir, I don't think that... Do you know my
hey,
story?
Listen, I listened to you long enough. You listen to me.
Well, I think you know the whole story.
If the court wastes more than 10 seconds on your case, then the judge ought to be replaced, too. You ain't got a case. You're what? Trying to tell me that your fee don't stink.
No, sir,
your
I'm not.
Yours is better than mine. It's absolute lunacy. Insane.
Sir?
And the judge ought to kick out your case in 1 second and then turn around and ask which goofy attorney brought such crap into my court and throw them out, too.
All right, Mr. Bozell, how do you respond?
Well, I understand a man's feeling because it is an unusual case, but why is it that people are allowed to come in?
It ain't unusual. There's ridiculous, asinine cases brought to court all the time.
Sir, you know, they called Columbus crazy when he said the world was flat, or when he said it was round. Now, I'm bringing a case that, yes, is unusual. I don't doubt that.
You're bringing a case. Exactly what you're
Clyde,
doing.
Clyde, watch
you're
your language.
You're trying to tell me.
Clyde, watch your language. I got to ask the caller to watch his language, or I'm going to have to hang up on him.
Well, first of all, can I comment?
Go ahead. He said that your blank doesn't stink.
No, I'm not saying that my blank doesn't stink. I am saying that my eliminations are less foul-smelling on because of the purifying foods that I eat. But I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying that I got singled out while these people come in from out of the area with their infants who go in the pool and are doing all their mess.
Let me get the caller back here. Clyde, are you there?
Nothing to do with it. You know the rules. Don't be
don't
in the pool.
Clyde, you
can't. You're more than 5 years old, so you can read, and you understand, even if you can't read, you know better than to pee in the pool, but you ain't got that much sense. You're too lazy to go walk off
the bathroom. Well, sir, I think you've got a jealousy issue. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm jealous, all right. I'm just glad you're in California and I'm in Missouri.
All right, Clyde, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I would ask the callers to watch their language. Here is Denise. Go ahead, Denise.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think this is a terrible thing. You gentlemen knew what you did was wrong.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Just admit it and go on your way and stop saying what you worry about other people might have done or not have done. You said the pool humiliated you. You are humiliating your own self by carrying this on longer than it needs to be done.
What about that, Mr. Bozell, that you don't even need to bring this out in public?
Well, the reason I think it needs to be brought out in public is there are millions of Americans right now who are taking better care of their health, such as myself. I'm training for the Ironman Triathlon in Hawaii later on this summer. As a result, because of the purifying foods, the detoxification of vegetables and fruits and minerals that I do take, it is possible for some of us to relieve ourselves in a public pool and not leave any infection.
Doesn't matter. Who wants to be swimming in a pool with their family and have somebody else's urine all over them? There's something wrong with you.
Ma'am, mine is just like pure spring water. I can't say.
Well, no, you can't say that, sir, because as I mentioned, even the body itself has certain.
No, mine, it's not even, you wouldn't even notice it. And yet, here's these babies that are coming in from out of the area. These babies are coming in, all these babies, you know, driving in from out of the area, and you know what they're doing. So that's all I got to say, Denise.
I think you need to see a psychiatrist.
Well, ma'am, they said Columbus thought the world was flat, and they proved him, they proved him wrong.
Yeah, you're totally disgusting.
Well, ma'am, I hope someday, God will forgive you for that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Columbus said the world was round. Everybody else thought it was flat. Phil Henry Show, Mr. Stephen Bozell, who believes he can relieve himself in a public pool because his is more pure. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tomorrow night on the Phil Henry Show, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. Tonight, Tim Robbins will be with us. for the first of his Tim Robbins reports, where he will discuss what is happening to the Robbins-Sarandon family, how the Bush administration, the CIA, and the Illuminati are making his life a living pure hell as he moves toward supporting Senator Kerry this 2004. Right on the line with me right now is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Now, you readily admit you urinated in a public pool, which is against the law, sir. You could have been cited. You could have been cited. You could have been fined.
Yes, sir. I understand all of that. But of all the people that you would cite for relieving themselves in a public pool, why would you cite a man who has as a regular staple of his diet beetroot, celery, fennel, the white radish, also the cabbage, the broccolis, the variety of broccolis and Brussels sprouts, all of them natural diuretics. So that the end result is that I have I got pee that's better than Arrowhead spring water, and you can look that up. And so they cite me, and not all these people that are coming in from out of the area with their babies and all of their... and the oils that are left in the water.
You know, you keep saying people from out of the area, but you won't identify who these people are. Where are they? Are you saying they're black?
No, sir, I'm not saying they're black.
Well, you keep saying out of the area. How do you know they're from out of the area? Because you said that most of the people around there are European American.
Yes, sir.
But the people from out of the area are not black.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're out of the area.
And they're leaving oils in the water? Now, I don't know what you mean by cabbage.
See, you're yelling at me. How come you're yelling at me? They're the ones that are coming in from...
Well, what do you mean beetroot and cabbage?
Those are natural diuretics.
1-800-449-8686. Wardell is on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, Wardell.
Yes, I think that guy is crazy. Number one, a urine is a feast. No matter if you drink water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that is still a feast because it's a body filtrate. That is a feast. I don't know what this man think he is or who he think he is.
I don't know the word you just used, a feast.
And
the people
you're talking about that's coming out of the area, apparently this man is a racist.
No, sir,
any
I'm not.
Two
and
ways,
nothing could be further from the truth,
ways,
sir.
Any two ways this man urine is that pure, he needs to cuff it and drink it himself. No way you get in a public pool and urinate in a public pool and you got kids and other people that may be on dialysis drinking your feet.
Sir.
Water in a pool is definitely going to go in your mouth.
I don't know what word you're using.
Some of the water.
Wardell, it's Phil Henry. Don't use whatever word that is you're using. I'm not saying it's profane. I just don't know what it is.
It's not fair.
You're talking about something else. No,
arrested. I think this man should be penalized for urinating in a public pool.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. Mr. Bozell, your response to this man.
Well, see, he's yelling at me, and you're yelling at me, and everyone's yelling at me. Okay, even though I eat fennel root and cabbage. Okay?
Okay, sir,
do you care to comment, sir, on the cabbages and Brussels sprouts that I eat?
But, sir, I need to ask you one thing to really clear my mind and clear a lot of the listeners' minds.
Yes, sir.
Sir, if your urine is so pure, do you ever try drinking your own urine, sir, since it's so pure? And you drink so much water, and you eat so much cabbage and broccoli. Have you ever tried bottling your urine and
Why would I want to do that? I've got bottled water.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want someone else to do that, sir?
I don't want anybody
else. It's not pure enough for you to come out of your body for you to drink it.
Well,
it's pure enough for you to urinate in a public pool somebody else to get it in their mouth.
Well, sir,
let me put it.
I wouldn't drink lake water necessarily, but I would swim in a lake. Okay?
No, sir. Lake water and urine is two different things.
You know as well as I do. Okay, I got a better example. Do you go swimming in the ocean? Yes. Can you drink it? No. Aha, gotcha. I got you.
Okay, sir. But
I got you with that
something.
One. I got you with that one.
You are so pure from your own body.
You say it's
your
pure,
own body.
Yeah. You didn't say there was.
You cannot drink it. When you can drink your own urine and feel comfortable, then you need to come back to the public court and apologize to the public. Because, sir, you are sick.
How am
and
I
your
sick?
Wife know you were sick. That's why she told you, even though she know your diet, your wife knew that still was nasty. That still was contaminated urine.
Now, hold on.
That's why your wife exploited you.
Have you ever had white radish or beetroot?
What difference does it make?
That kind of stuff. It doesn't even matter.
Well,
urine is urine. It's a waste.
Well, sir,
it's a waste, sir.
What about the Public Accommodations Act of the Civil Rights Act of 1965?
Sir, I'm not even worried about 1965 because, sir, this is 2004. Those rights and those titles need to be changed, sir, because you need to be penalized.
No, nothing needs to be changed.
You violated a lot of people's rights if you really think about it.
Do you eat a spec?
Because you have violated a lot of people's rights, sir.
Hold on. I want to ask you what you just said there, Mr. Bozell. Do you eat asparagus? You asked Wardell that?
Yeah, do you eat asparagus? Because that's one of
Yes, I do eat asparagus.
Okay, that's the most purifying vegetable in the world.
Okay, but it still don't give me no reason to go and urinate
no, it's not.
Into a public pool.
Wait a minute, you eat asparagus? That's funky, man. You kidding me?
Sir, sir.
I can tell
sir,
you this, both of you gentlemen,
saying
the
makes
civil
sense to any of the listeners.
The Civil Rights
about
Act.
Why would you urinate
you
in the pool?
You can't use the Civil Rights Act of 1960. First of all, the Civil Rights Public Accommodation Act says.
You are hiding behind that Civil Rights
yeah.
Act.
If the 1965 Civil
that.
Rights Act says you
but
can
you
use
what,
public
sir?
Restrooms.
This
well, what about public pools?
They need to change that.
You can swim in a public
pool.
You
need to be penalized.
Well,
you need to be penalized because
you need to be penalized.
A whole bunch of people
know the difference between you and me.
I don't think he does either. I will say
and I
this.
Even feel like that's almost molestation in the children.
Oh, come
you
on.
Actually urinating in the water that kids are in the water playing.
Did you think of the penalty box?
Putting the baby in the water. What the first
right.
thing a baby going
right,
to do? Open his mouth.
Let me
and drink your urine?
No. Oh, wait
no, you're not Jesus.
No, sir, I'll tell you right
you
now.
You need to be penalized.
You're
going to be locked up.
In the penalty box like they have in a hockey game?
They need a paddle to say, do you need to be locked up or you need to be compensated?
All right, you're jealous.
Do you need to be locked up?
You're just
you
jealous because I
eat. Compensated.
Sir, you are
no,
jealous
sir.
Because I eat beetroot.
No, sir.
All right,
no, sir.
Wardell,
you
thank you.
Can save you from
thank
being
you.
Compensated.
Both of you can
no.
go. You know what? Both of you gentlemen can go straight to the horned one.
Oh, he hung up.
Yes, he did hung up because I put some right points on him.
Well, you did, and I think you made some
that
very good points.
That guy needs to be locked
let
up.
Let me just make this point, too, to anybody. The Public Accommodations part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 talks about being able to use a bathroom for a bathroom and a pool for a pool, uh-huh. but not use one or the other for the... Oh, hold on for a minute. He just called back.
Did you hear what I said?
Why did you hang up on me and then call back?
Because I still want to get an answer. Are you jealous because I eat fennel and beetroot?
Exactly.
Exactly. What does that mean?
I'm sorry. I'm
never mind. I it's okay. Wardell, thank you for your call. Am I jealous because you eat beetroot?
Yes.
Yeah, man. I'm super jealous. Like, I can't get the stuff myself.
Well, it's very rare.
No, it ain't. I can go down to Vons and buy it. What do you mean it's very rare?
You know what? I hope you roast on a spit. I hope the devil's got a nice garlic garnish for you.
Okay, you know, pal, tell you what, Mr. Bozell, if you're still listening, and I know you are, I know you hung up on me and just turned your radio right up, okay? I know that you probably are listening to every word that I'm saying. I may burn in hell, okay? But one of the things that I will not have to go to hell for is peeing in a public pool. I think that's something you can burn in hell for, though. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Tell him if he... What do you want?
I didn't listen to you.
I'm sorry?
I didn't hang up and listen to you, and I heard you what you said. That's slanderous.
What do you mean you didn't hang up and listen to me?
You said, oh, he's probably hanging up and listening to me right now, and I did not do that.
And then how did you know I said that?
Because I guessed at it. I guessed that you were saying it.
Hey, tell you what, man.
Maybe telepathy.
Yeah, maybe I'll let beetroot.
It has shown some telepathic properties, yes, sir. I know you're laughing, but white radish is shown in clinical test after clinical test.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. So, if you want to read people's minds, eat more white radish. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up tonight, the Tim Robbins Report. And Tim Robbins will be with us, and he'll outline the latest plot to make his life miserable, being perpetrated by members of the intelligence community in America. And also, tomorrow evening, we will have the Margaret Gray Campaign 2004 report, and she is on the trail, if you'll pardon the expression, of the two political presidential aspirants, one of whom is already the president, so I guess he wouldn't be an aspirant. And then, let's see, Wednesday night, we have Don't Do It, Jay, where we machine gun Jay Leno for saying the very predictable line, we make fun of people equally on our show. So that's all coming up on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, if you have a computer and you would like to log on to our website, well, we've got some nice things there for you. Our website is www.philhendryshow.com. And on our website is not only the opportunity to listen to all of our comedy archives, all the stuff we've done down through the years. You can get full hours. You can get short little phone call segments, short little character bits. You can also get a 30-day archive, or you will get a 30-day archive, where you can access any hour of any show over the past 30 days, in case you missed anything. Let's see, what else do we have? We have our video archives, where we've actually had some... Do you have to have a backstage pass to watch me on any TV interviews we've done? I don't think you do. In any event, it's only $6.95 a month, and that gives you access to all of our comedy archives. And the quality, the audio quality, this is very important to understand, is very, very good. There's plenty of bootleg sites that have bits of ours that, frankly, the quality is just for squat, man. It ain't no good. So what do you want to do? You want to log on there and listen to it like it's coming out over a shortwave radio from Cambodia? Or do you want to hear it in its pure crystal, dare I say it, in its beetroot detoxified form? Right there on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. That's pretty heavy. The detoxifying vegetables, beetroot and fennel. Wow. And then there's the ever-popular asparagus. That's right, summertime. Don't worry. It's supposed to smell like that. That means you're healthy. Anyway, also get a copy of our 2003 CD, The Best of the Phil Hendry Show, 2003 CD called The Death of Talk Radio. When you purchase that, it goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. 1-800-449-8686. Now, I was mindful today as I was purchasing some, like, very early dinner of a commercial, one of my favorite commercials of all time. Have you ever seen the commercial with the guy standing in front of a large supermarket display of foods, frozen foods, just a regular guy standing there, and he stands there looking at all this food, and then the logo comes on, it says Burger King. Without us, some guys would starve. I can't forget that commercial. It's just, for me, it speaks to me, because in many ways that was my life when I was a bachelor. I was a fast food guy. And I look at that commercial, and I think of the money that Burger King... Well, actually, they probably didn't have to spend a lot of money to produce a commercial like that, but it was pretty well seen across the country. And to buy ad time, especially on a television network, is expensive. So they invested a lot of money, Burger King did, in a very creative, a very simple commercial. Very simple. Speaks to every man. Every man who was ever a bachelor, unless you're, and I'm not saying that guys like this are gay. I don't go down that road where because a guy knows how to cook, he's gay. No, not me. Just because a guy likes to put some of that spiking glue in his hair doesn't make him queer in my eye. No. No, there ain't no queer guy in this straight guy's eye. Thank you. I wouldn't want to hang out with you. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. So, but a lot of guys, especially the ones that I know, I guess we're just pedestrian men. We're standing in front of the food there. And there it is. Burger King. Without us, some guys would starve. And I thought about that as I pulled into McDonald's and got 2 quarter pounders with cheese, a supersized fry, and a Diet Coke. And as I was driving down the road, sucking on the Diet Coke, and just picking a fry out of the bag, is it, because I eat when I drive. It's probably not safe, but I'm a guy that's on the go, right? And I'm eating the fry, and I'm looking and thinking, how the hell is it that I'm eating McDonald's when I love that Burger King commercial? You want to know why? Because all the great commercials in the world don't do you any good when you haven't got one off the freeway on my way to work, man. I ain't going to go out of my way to find Burger King. Just because you did a really groovy commercial don't mean that I'm going to go out of my way to find you. Now, what does that mean? When you spend all that kind of money, I'm not knocking burger. By the way, I think the Whopper with the court, the, what is it, the thing, the Whopper, double Whopper, is fantastic. And that BK fish, I love it. But I haven't eaten at a Burger King in years. I can't, and the commercials that McDonald's do, they're all for kids. Ronald McDonald this, Happy Face that, McBurglar this, swing sets and slides. You think that the only people they want to eat at the restaurant are six, and I live there. I'm walking in there, and everybody else is like 3 feet high, and they're all in their little slides, and there's Phil just munching away on his French fries and his Coke, and he's, you know, and a kid comes up,
"Hey, mister, are you reading the sports page?"
"No, you can have it, kid." And I'm all by myself there, right? But I'm eating at McDonald's. So you see, advertising, man, it's really expensive. And I would just assume the bread that these people spend and the advertising agencies that come up with these concepts, and you think, geez, you know, these are really great concepts, but do they sell a product? You know what I'm saying? Do they sell a product? I don't think they sell a product. Volkswagen, for years, when Volkswagen was at the height of its sales, probably in the late 60s, 70s, sometime like that, they had hysterically funny commercials. They crammed Wilt Chamberlain into one of their cars. They did all kinds of things. But gradually the sales began to decline because guess what? It wasn't selling the cars. All those commercials you see in the Super Bowl, you know how every day, man, I'm getting so sick of it, frankly, personally. Every Monday after the Super Bowl, I can't get anybody to talk about the game. They went, "Did you see the Budweiser commercial, huh?" And they had the frogs. The frogs are great, right? The frogs are fantastic. The lizard's great. I wouldn't drink Budweiser if I was in the middle of that hot Middle Earth desert there with all that lava coming down. Yeah, the Budweiser, the Real Men of Genius commercials. They do it for Bud Light, those Real Men of Genius. Wouldn't drink Bud Light, man, if it was the last beer. I'd drink water. Well, it was the only beer left, sure. Because this weekend, my wife and kids are gone, and I open up the cooler, and what's in there? Somebody brought Coors Light into my home, and there's no other beer. I had to drink that. But you see what I'm saying? What? Did you bring that garbage, Chris?
It was at your party, dude.
I didn't buy that.
Mark did.
Did you bring that Coors Light, you swine? You only bring greenies to my house, so you don't bring nothing. No, I think my wife brought it for her grandparents. Her parents drink that stuff. So all of the great commercials in the world don't sell the product, all right? And I'll never drink Bud Light. I love their commercials. And Burger King's got the best commercial in the world. I like their food, too, but I'll never eat there, man, because McDonald's is like... Oh, yeah, by the way, Tim Robbins is coming up. We'll ask him where he eats. But McDonald's is near my house. That's why I eat there. Anyway, Carl's Jr. is near my house, though, and I still wouldn't eat there. The Tim Robbins report is coming up with Mr. Robbins on the hell of being Tim Robbins. The Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is now proud to present the first of weekly installments of the Tim Robbins Report. Mr. Robbins will join us from his home in Hollywood each week to talk with us about the latest attempt by the intelligence community of America to make his life a living, breathing, seething hell. My understanding is, talking to our associate producer, Chris Pelton, we've got a big disappointment. Mr. Robbins cannot join us tonight, but we are honored to have his wife, Susan Sarandon, on the line. Ms. Sarandon, first of all, thank you for joining us in place of Tim, and maybe you can give us some background on what happened to him.
Well, Phil, first of all, it's a pleasure to be with you. Tim is actually not doing very well, and we're suspecting that it probably was the Bush administration.
Is he not well?
He is not well, no.
Physically, he is ill.
He is physically ill. He's right. I'm having to keep one eye on him and, you know, listen to you at the same time, but I'm very concerned about him right now. I'm sitting in our hot tub, which is just off of our master bedroom, and he's...
Is he... tell me what happened to him, first of all. You say it's the Bush administration?
We suspect, yeah.
Well, what is wrong?
Well, you're right, Tim.
Oh, man!
Close the door. He closed the door. Close the door to the bathroom. Let me tell you what happened, Phil.
First of all, for those of you joining us for the Tim Robbins Report, Tim is not well. You're in the hot tub now, Mr. Randon?
Yes, I am.
Because I can hear it's bubbling away.
I got the air blowers on. I just, well, it's none of your business. But what I wanted to say more than anything is that if the Bush administration's listening tonight, okay, good for you. Fun for you. You got one on us, but we'll get back at you. And Phil...
Oh, yeah, that hurts!
Okay, you can hear.
Is that Mr. Robbins?
Yes, it is. What happened basically was this, Phil. I was out of town concluding some scenes for a film that I'm doing. And Tim was here at home alone, and he decided to open up a can of cherry dessert topping that we had in our pantry. By about 2 o'clock Sunday morning, the report that I got from Tim's personal doctor is his lower intestine almost came out. And
okay, so are you saying there was some kind of botulism?
Some kind of botulism? I thought the guy was going to crap his brains out. I mean, I'm
turning inside out over here!
You can hear him.
So I want to be clear, Ms. Sarandon. Susan Sarandon joins us. Tim Robbins is...
on the toilet. You might as well tell.
All right, I didn't want to say... but...
well, it's the Bush administration. Tell him right now.
Okay, Tim opened up a can of cherry dessert topping?
Yeah.
How long had it been in the pantry?
What does that got to do with anything? Because...
well, I mean, some of the stuff goes back...
No. What these people in Washington are doing, because of my political work and Tim's, because of the fact that he and I are so much in love and have a family... and are very vocal in our support for Senator Kerry, they have decided to try and poison him. And I can tell you...
okay, that's blood. That's great.
You can hear what's going...
I don't really want... I think that for the privacy of Mr. Robbins...
close the bathroom door, Tim. Close the bathroom door. I can tell you right now, Phil, that the Bush administration is going to pay dearly for this. Tim was supposed to make a big speech this weekend, so what do? They slip a can of contaminated cherry dessert topping into our pantry. Naturally, he opens it up and eats it straight. And
when you say cherry dessert topping, isn't that the stuff you're supposed to put into pie filler?
Yeah.
Well, what's he doing eating it straight out of a can?
He can do anything he wants. He can...
well, I know, but if that's... are you supposed to cook that?
That doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference at all. The fact of the matter is, the guy is sitting on the toilet right now... and I mean 7 shades are coming out because of the Bush administration. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah!
See?
Well, obviously he's not having a good time, but you can't blame the Bush administration.
Okay, here we go. So you're going to be an apologist.
No, Ms. Sarandon, I'm not being an apologist for anyone, okay?
Somebody get me a wine cork!
In just a minute. You know what you're doing.
I'm not being an apologist for the Bush administration. I'm saying that them slipping a contaminated can of cherry dessert topping into your pantry that Tim's going to eat straight out of the can sounds to me like it's more...
it sounds weird to you, huh? Well, in Hollywood, we do those things, Mr. Henry. We eat dessert topping straight out of the can. Okay?
X-lax!
What do you mean, X-lax? You don't want X-lax. So... they kept Tim from making his big speech this week.
Where was he going to make a speech?
I don't know. It's some club, somebody's pool party. I don't know. Some speech someplace. And look what they did to him. He's in there right now, and his eyeballs are going to come out the wrong way in a minute.
No!
See? So you and your Tim Robbins report, I guess you don't get one this week.
Well, look, I'm not sitting here trying...
No. I know your political affiliations. And I can tell you right now... yeah, okay, that's good. I got the air jets on. And I'm telling you right now that...
the flusher's broken now!
All right, I'll get it fixed. I'm going to tell you right now that this isn't going to stand. And the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and the NSC and the NCAA, all of them, I don't care.
All right, so Tim Robbins, I am... Mr. Robbins has a very severe case of diarrhea as the result of eating a can of cherry dessert topping. that the FBI put in your pantry.
Oh, you're saying that like I'm nuts.
No.
No, I can tell the sound of your voice. You're saying it like I'm nuts. You know what? I'm going to flush you the same way Tim's going to flush... You know what I'm talking about.
You have my mother on the phone?
I'll call your mother.
All right, Susan Sarandon joins us along with Tim Robbins and...
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, fine. This has been the Tim Robbins Report on The Phil Henry Show with Susan Sarandon in for Tim, sitting in her hot tub.
Dude, I'm sitting on a lip mat.
Oh, shut up.
We wish Mr. Robbins a speedy recovery from the severe dysentery that the FBI gave him as he was eating a can of dessert topping. I'm telling you right now, it went bad in the can.
And I'm telling you, you're nuts.
I'm telling you right now, the FBI don't hate Tim Robbins enough to give him diarrhea from cherry dessert topping that nobody would eat straight out of a can anyway. You gotta cook that stuff.
Well, like I said, you don't know what we do in Hollywood. Now, do you? Yeah, I'd love to. Don't worry about it, honey.
Fade the music down?
Yeah, fade the music down.
The Tim Robbins Report is brought to you by G.W. Cherries. Always fresh from upstate New York.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that is the latest, as far as we can, Ms. Sarandon telling us that Tim Robbins was poisoned by the FBI. He wasn't able to get off the toilet to go and make his big speech at a pool party for Steven Spielberg, and so there you go. You got to be careful what you eat out of the can, Mr. Robbins. I don't care. You eat out of the can, you'll be sitting on the can for a long, long time. Thank you, bud. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So they popped Mark Hacking for the death of his wife. At least that's what the police believe. Mark Hacking has been arrested on suspicion of murdering his pregnant wife, Lori. The police in Salt Lake City have said, quote, "We believe Mark Hacking is responsible for her disappearance and death." Hacking was arrested on a single charge of suspicion of aggravated murder. Don't these guys know that the first cat the cops look at is the husband? Haven't they figured that one out yet? Haven't they seen enough Perry Mason for that one? I mean, we all get court TV. We've all seen the OJ trial. We're a far more savvy people. You can't get away with some of these crimes like they used to. Especially a lot of these child, where they murder kids. You know the first person they look at when a kid dies? Guess who? The mother. You didn't know that, did you? When a kid dies, if it's suspicious, I mean, if it's not, you know, when a child dies in the hospital from a disease, everybody knows that. But if suddenly the child dies, even if it's like just died in their sleep, that one, the cops get, boy, their antenna go up on that one like you wouldn't believe, man. Like they're bringing in Mars on that one. Your kid died in his sleep. Uh-huh. See, they used to buy it. They used to say, well, it must be sudden infant death syndrome. Now, I don't doubt that there is such a thing as sudden infant death syndrome. No doubt at all. But people seize on anything, and they try to make it work for them. I'll give you an example. You know that whole Tigger situation at Disney World? Remember, I called that one back in May. I said, what are you kidding me? What do you mean Tigger's fondling women? You put on that Tigger costume. It's a big tiger outfit. It's got paws on it the size of baseball mitts. How are you going to fondle anybody or anything? How would you even think about it? But you can't even feel who you're touching. You got these big paws, and then they say, can we have a picture? And they're going to take it back to Ohio with them, whatever the hell they're going to do. And there's a picture of them with Tigger, right? So he's got his arms wrapped around the people, so one of them is right over the lady's breast. What does he know? Now, guess what? Somebody decided they're going to get rich by suing Disney World. First, they got to get a criminal conviction of the guy in the Tigger costume. At least they it makes the civil case a lot easier if you got a criminal conviction. So here's what they want to do. They want to charge Tigger or Disney World with hiring someone who fondles them. This is a beautiful, I mean, it's a great scam if you can make it work, right? So then they try and get a conviction, and then they'll go and they'll sue. Now some woman out in Missouri or California or Minnesota, she reads in the paper where a lady says she was fondled by Tigger, and guess what she says? You know what? I think I was fondled by Tigger, too. In fact, I think Pinocchio stuck his nose somewhere where it shouldn't have been. And if you want to get on the subject, Snow White ought to be looked into. And so she starts running with it. And the next thing you know, Disney World has to come out and say, there's five different guys that wear that Tigger costume, you nut. And there's like three different people who wear the Pinocchio costume, not all of them guys. In fact, Pinocchio half the time is a chick. Now what are you trying to tell me? Well, I just know I got fondled. You do, huh? Yet now I remember. Can you dig this? This is the one that I had to laugh until I wanted to spit. I had to laugh until I was Tim Robbins on the John. I'm listening to this late. You know what? Suddenly she got a flashback. Yeah, she was fondled by Tigger. Now we come to the present moment. Guess what happened? Did you hear? The guy who's been charged, the guy that was in the Tigger costume, a guy by the name of Chartron, they offered him a plea bargain. They offered him a deal if he'd accept a guilty charge. You know what he told him to do? He told him to take their guilty charge and jam it right back up there where Pinocchio's nose was. I'm not taking any plea because I didn't do it. Good for you, sir. I'm not going to cop any plea with you guys because I'm innocent. You want to get somebody to say, you know, you want me to say yes so that this family can go and squeeze a few million out of Disney World? Try it with somebody else. Right, so this guy is fighting it, and now it's going to go to trial. And, of course, the way it's reported, he could risk 15 years in prison. 15 years in prison even if he's innocent? So anyway, remember back in May when this story first came out, and it's just now, I guess, getting to the trial phase, or is well into the trial phase, I said, this stinks, man. This smells like someone's asparagus urine. Are you kidding me? Yeah, what a perfect opportunity to fondle people dressed up there in your Chip and Dale outfit, dressed like a giant chipmunk. Because if that's the case, then they're going to have to suspect every single one of those. Even the seven dwarfs are not above reproach. So getting back to this hacking guy, see, so you got to kind of look, and the cops know. Cops, in a case like that, what are they going to do? They're going to arrest the guy? She says you fondled her. I mean, boy, I'll tell you something. It must be the easiest charge to bring in the world. You know, he fondled me. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to say, no, he didn't. So, of course, they're going to arrest the guy. He's got to go inside. He's got to sit there in jail and just slowly get angry. If I were that guy, I'd not only sue Disney World, I'd sue that woman that sued him. I'd sue the woman for wrongful, whatever the hell it is, prosecution. I'd sue her for just being who she was, for being a tourist from Ohio or wherever the hell she's from. You know, these people come down to Disney World, it's just one head case after another in an RV. They park it out there at Wild West Country or wherever those little RVs are parked. They go on into the park and they have themselves a great time. And if it isn't exactly the way they thought it to be, if it isn't the wonderful, wild, free-range fantasy in their mind, if everything isn't just perfect, if every I isn't dotted, every T isn't crossed, and if Snow White isn't just the epitome of the most dazzling and blinding beauty, they're going to sue. They're going to, not only are they going to, they're going to have Tigger arrested for molesting them. Disney World is, it's a fake place, folks. You can't go down there and escape reality. The reality is going to follow you into the place, meaning your own mental illness. Now you got this guy hacking. The first guy they're going to look at is the husband. Who are you kidding, man? Of course, he doesn't seem as calculating as Scott Peterson, does he? I mean, not one day after this woman is reported missing, he's prancing around out in the public and all naked or something. Wasn't he running around the streets nude? That's not what I would call not drawing attention to yourself. The first guy they look at is the husband. And the first person they look at when a kid dies is the mother. Because women kill their kids. It goes back hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, women kill their kids. They do it for a lot of reasons. There's too many kids. They can't afford the kids. They're mentally diseased. They're crazy. They're nuts, whatever. Women, more often than men, kill their own children. And it ain't like the cops don't know this. And coming up with all the excuses that you just want to cry. Two black guys took them. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to have to write that one down. Geez, two black guys, huh? And what'd they look like? They were black. Okay. And I bet you they were wearing ski caps. Well, you know what? Come to think of it, they were. Okay. Big flared nostrils, big thick lips. Yes, uh-huh. Just like monkeys, right? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look right on that, man. We'll haul every black guy in. Now you got Scott Peterson. Guess who did it? Well, a devil worshiper, man. The Manson family. Just like that other guy up there, that Green Beret. You guys don't know the story, but there was a Green Beret doctor by the name of Jeffrey McDonald. Butchered up his whole family, and then guess what he said? Oh, it was a bunch of hippies. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty convenient the Manson family had been in the news just about 3-4 years before that, wasn't it? So good idea to think of that. Yeah, it was a bunch of hippies, and what did they do? I bet you they were on acid? Yeah, they were crazed, drug crazed, and they came in and, with hatchets and knives. Yeah, just like the Mansons did. Maybe the Mansons did it, if they weren't in jail already. It ain't like the cops don't see this. And, you know, they're getting smarter just like everybody else is. But, I mean, if your wife dies, the first guy they look at is you, Charlie. So what I would suggest is this. You better hope your wife doesn't die. Or you better have a good story. You know, because I'm telling you, like, and you know the worst part of it? I don't fear if Maria were to die, I don't fear the cops. I fear her mother more than anyone. If my wife were to die... You guys out there that are married, if you know your mother-in-law, I don't know. I like my mother-in-law. I sit down and I have tequila shots with her. But I know one thing. She'd cut my throat from ear to ear for a farthing when it came to her daughter. It doesn't matter. You may think she's your best buddy in the world, your mother-in-law, right? Oh, Phil, my pal. Hey, how you doing there, Viola? I know that if Maria went missing, she would, I'm telling you, she'd turn the Dobermans loose on me. No, I didn't do it, Viola. I didn't kill your daughter. Well, she wouldn't believe me. All right, coming up later on, tomorrow night, we're going to have Margaret Gray's Campaign 2000 report. Wednesday night, Don't Do It, Jay. And boy, guess what? Friday, we have the countdown to the NFL kickoff with Joe Dickhead and the professor. Yes, football season is upon us. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We have Bob Bakian. All right, I want to get Bob Bakian up on the line now. He's in our news helicopter right now. What is up, Bob?
Well, right now we're traveling just out over the Manhattan area, New York, where there is a spontaneous celebration that is breaking out not only here over Times Square, but as well as down toward the Battery and a variety of streets. People are just embracing each other and showing a great deal of spontaneous, celebratory enthusiasm, just a look of relief on everyone's faces as the result of the news that has just now been reported. We heard it over the networks just moments ago. Paris Hilton got beat up. We are right out here over the, what looks to be just above 44th Street. I'm trying to get a phone starter back now, Phil.
All right, hold on. We're having some technical difficulties. Are you there, Bob?
Right here, Phil. We are getting some radio interference.
People are out celebrating because they just got the news Paris Hilton got beat up.
That is correct. Been a long time coming. We have some taped comments from people. I can play them for you, Phil.
Go ahead.
There were just some people we were talking to moments ago in Times Square.
It's really great, man. I'm side of her, man. I can't shag that. You
know? All right, it's that broke up a little bit.
Here's a lady. We asked the question to her. What do you think about? Well, here's the tape recording. Here's that Paris Hilton getting beat up.
Well, it's a long time coming, isn't it?
So those are just a smattering of comments, Phil. As the news broke just moments ago, Paris Hilton got her ass kicked. Back to you.
All right, so just some celebration breaking out throughout. He was over Times Square in New York, where the news just came down that Paris Hilton, quote, got her ass kicked, end quote. The story that I have, her it says here she has noticeable bruises on her face and arm. I don't think this is anything to be celebrating. It's possible that a boyfriend smacked her around. It's possible a boyfriend smacked her around, or someone from the network just got the ratings.
It's not funny.
All right. I thought it might be a little bit...
No, it's violence against women isn't funny.
I know violence against women isn't funny, bud. You don't have to tell me.
So what do you mean? Someone from the network got the ratings.
It's just a joke, man. I mean... Yeah, David.
What are you doing now?
Look, all I did was I made...
Oh, Bud just called me and told me.
What do you mean, Bud just called you and told you?
I did, mister, didn't I?
Yeah, I just called up. He said you made a joke about a woman getting her ass kicked.
I just did it 3 seconds ago.
Well, I don't care. Bud was on the phone.
Well, aren't you the little rat?
He told me to report anything that's bad.
I told him to report anything that's bad. Now, you're coming on there and talking about, hey, everybody's celebrating because Paris Hilton got her ass kicked? Is that what you're doing?
Bob Bakey.
Oh, Bob Bakey and my bare rear end. You're on there making a joke about violence against women. Don't you know that maybe a boyfriend smacked her around? Maybe a husband smacked her around? Maybe a network executive smacked her around?
Yeah, maybe a network executive smacked her around.
That's what I just said.
No, you didn't. You made a joke out of it.
Yes, I did. I said that the network executive smacked her around because he got the ratings.
No, he didn't, Mr. Hall.
No, that butt says you didn't.
That's exactly what I just said.
Well, the point is, don't make fun of violence against women. It's not funny.
Unless you do it, Mr. Hall.
Unless I do it.
You're a freaking rat, you know that?
I'm going to tell.
You go tell. I'm going to tell. Although her reps were mum Friday on the cause of the injury, sources close to the celebutante tell E! Online columnist Ted Casablanca. You're kidding. Is that the guy's name? Ted Casablanca? All right, no, wait a minute. That's the name of a city in Morocco, and his first name is Ted. You might as well just call the guy like Frank Shanghai. Frank Shanghai, E! Online. Ted Casablanca, they told him that the bruises were the result of an altercation. Paris's friends and family wanted to go to the police and press charges against the person responsible, but Paris hasn't yet made up her mind. Hilton was traveling to New York this weekend to be at her family's home in the Hamptons, where mom Kathy is shooting scenes for the new reality show, The Good Life. Have you heard about that show? You know how Paris has the simple life where her and her friend just go and try to buy... canned stuffed grape leaves at the supermarket without sounding too dumb. And her mother's got a show called The Good Life, and they truck in black people into New York, and she shows them how to go to the movie theater and take a bath. Honest to God, you think I'm kidding? That's what the show's about. How do you like that? Kathy Hilton's going to show you what it's all about. They're going to bus you in, put you up at the Marriott in Times Square, then she's going to dress you up, spray a little bit of cologne in your armpit, and take you to a book signing party. And you'll live like all of the people live, celebutantes up there in the Upper West Side. Although The Simple Life is Fox's top-rated show of the summer, Hilton has been unable to enjoy its success. Last week, she and Backstreet Boy Nick Carter broke up after 8 hard-partying, PDA-filled months together. What's PDA? What, do I got to call up Ted Casablanca to find out what that means?
It's what a woman gets once a month.
That ain't PDA, that's PMS, you dumbass.
No, that's what she gets once a month.
Well, what does it stand for?
Diarrhea something.
Both cited separate careers as the main reason for the split, with Carter also telling people our relationship was based on distrust. She didn't trust me, I didn't trust her. Oh, that's nice. Hilton's camp was, what, sounds like there was a little bit of bad blood there. Oh, yeah, and he did that. I didn't trust her, the bitch. I'm sorry, I didn't read that part. Hilton's camp was a bit more diplomatic. Paris is busy working on her album, is starting a movie, is going to be beatified by the Pope in the fall. She's also been, of course, nominated for the Nobel Prize. She's getting a Pulitzer Prize. And her boyfriend, Nick Carter, is in a band that no one goes to see anymore. Basically, Paris found that situation intolerable. Well, there you go. I mean, as far, too bad that he got her name tattooed on his ass. So, that's tough. Paris is busy working. She is just concentrating on her career right now. The two remain friends. All right, well, I'll tell you who beat her up. Nick Carter beat her up. You know he did. He came and he said, so, you're getting a Nobel Prize. You got a hot TV show. Well, Nick, you know, honey, I did it all for you. No, you didn't. I'm a Backstreet Boy. It doesn't matter anymore. No one cares, man. Don't you understand? Nick, come on, honey. Everything's going to be okay. Don't nick me. Don't mother me. I'm a flop. Look at you with a TV show and everything. Bet you it was a scene right out of that Dorothy Stratton movie. NSYNC this and NSYNC that. All these hip-hop artists and stuff. We were hot. Remember that song we did? I want it that away. Oh, gee. Nobody knows what that song means, man. Don't sing that anymore, okay? And now you got your TV show and stuff. What do you mean you're going to be beatified by the Pope? What's that about?
I'm going to be made a saint.
A saint? A saint? You're out in Vegas having sex with every guy? I heard you had sex with Mike Tyson willingly. No wonder he lost the fight.
Nick, you're just jealous. You're having a hard time, honey. And
I got your face tattooed on my bum.
Well, I'm getting my face on Mount Rushmore.
That's what I'm talking about! What do you mean you're getting your face on Mount Rushmore? What do you mean you're getting beatified? You're Paris Hilton! You ain't squat! I'm Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys!
Why are you yelling?
I don't know. I guess I don't need my voice anymore, do I?
No, you don't. Wasn't much to begin with.
All right, well, that's it, man. I'm beating your ass up.
What are you talking about? No, like...
That's why she's got bruises. Bob Bakian's over Times Square. 1-800-449-8686 at the Phil Henry Show tomorrow night. Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Is Margaret going to be on a flashback later? Yeah, Margaret Gray with a flashback coming up tonight as well from our one of our shows last week. All ahead here on the Phil Henry Show. Again, our email, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll do a mailbag like on Friday. And Joe Dickhead's back on Friday. How about that? Pro football, baby. Countdown to kickoff. The NFL season. With all of its triviality and all of its meaninglessness, however, we love it. In fact, what do you mean you just got your Jets tickets? Jets-Chargers. You got your Jets Chargers. Mark Newman, my good friend here, is from Jersey, and Mark's a huge Jet fan, and he's got his Jets-Chargers tickets. Are they good seats? You going to be down there at the queue at the Coliseum? Yep. You know what, man? You can have at it down there. You can have your way down. Those Charger fans are the most meek, mild-mannered people. You can walk through the stands with Giant and Jets banners. You can walk through the stands with Raiders banners, and they're going to do anything. It's great. You're going to have a great time. I wish I could go with you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray will join us for just a few seconds here. Well, not a few seconds, for a few long, marvelous minutes next hour. And she'll also be on our show tomorrow night, the nationally syndicated columnist with her Campaign 2004 report. Wednesday night we have Don't Do It, Jay, where we beg Jay Leno, we plead with him not to say I'm an equal opportunity offender. Because when he says that, well, bad things happen. Bad things happen to him. Friday night countdown to kickoff with Joe Dickhead. National Football League season coming up. My good friend Mr. Newman goes down to the Charger game, and I wouldn't worry about those Charger fans. They're as meek as lambs, just as meek and mild-mannered as a bunch of lambs. You know, frankly, it is something to be proud of. I don't think very highly of San Diego, as you know, but I'm not a guy that thinks football fans who pretend like they're hardcore, I don't think that's something to be admired. And the Oakland Raider fans, something has to be done about them. First of all, don't be intimidated by guys that wear Darth Vader costumes, guys that have the big spiked shoulder pads and are acting tough. Because, believe me, folks, there's a lawsuit against the Raiders. If you get... Didn't think about that one, did you? Well, now I'm going to give you the good idea. Here it is. Anybody lays a hand on you at that ballpark up in Alameda, that Alameda Coliseum, whatever they call that dump, you sue Al Davis for everything that he'll ever be, everything that he ever was, everything that he is now, which ain't much. Honest to God, that guy has actively encouraged that kind of behavior, don't you think? Look, the cats get, look at the Raiders' colors. I said this 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I made this point. And, of course, it went in one ear and out the other. And that's okay. I'm just a talk show host. I don't expect people to listen to everything that I'm saying. Right, bud?
You say something?
Anyway, that guy's got the Raider colors being used by gangbangers all over the country. Now, don't you think if you were the president or the CEO of a football team, you'd say, "Hi, I'm Al Davis, and I'd really rather gang members not wear our team colors as their own uniforms because that reflects badly on our organization, and we certainly don't want to have that kind of impact on the youth of America." But he doesn't say that because I guess that would impact the sales. The only guys that are buying your garbage are guys that are machine-gunning people. Isn't that right, Al, huh? Anyway, you go up to that Alameda Stadium where those Raiders play that football. You go into that stadium. Some guy puts a finger on you. You don't have to fight him. You don't have to even worry about whether the cops arrest him. All you got to do is remember his ugly face, and then you turn around and you sue the Raider organization for not providing a safe environment for their fans. What about that? Yes, it's another edition of Phil's Ideas for Good Lawsuits. That's right. Go to a Raider game and wear Charger colors. Guy lays a finger on you, you sue. Put on a plastic nose and plastic glasses with those fake mustaches. Walk into a party. Someone tells you you're ugly, you sue. Marry a beautiful woman. Have a child with her, and if the kid comes out ugly, you sue. You sue her. And sue the kid. So I got all these ideas from Steve Bozell, but no, don't worry about the Charger fans. Don't worry about them at all. Raider fans, as I've often said this, Oakland Raider fans are the least knowledgeable football fan in the world, literally. Now, it wasn't always the case. There was a time when the Oakland Raider fan was the single most knowledgeable fan in the world because they had a little team, and it was kind of a little tiny town, and nobody paid a whole lot of attention to them, and they were not really on the map yet. You know, they were the Raiders of the old AFL, and they came into the AFC, and they were making some noise, but it was all about the Steelers and this and that, and they had some pretty bad boys on that team, but the people who followed them really appreciated the game. Now, most football fans that come out to the ballpark, well, I shouldn't say most, but you get a good portion now don't know anything about the game because, well, it's a big, beautiful game. Football is a big, beautiful game. It's big and it's beautiful. They have those multicolored helmets. They got guys flying through the air. They got guys running head on to each other at 100 miles an hour. Skulls cracking, bones cracking, and yet at the same time, there is the ballet of the quarterback to the receiver, the ball sailing through the air like a bird on a wing. There is the agility and the moves of the wideout and the tight end. There is the muscle against muscle there on the offensive-defensive line. There is the power running, the fleet running. And then, of course, there's the fan in the stands, graceful as he vomits into the backseat of his SUV. So it's all there for you. And it's a big, beautiful game. The ballparks are big and beautiful. They better be, man, at $500 million now they're running, man. How much did that ballpark cost in Washington? It's about $800 million, I shouldn't say. I thought, for a minute there, I was thinking of the how much it cost to make a stealth bomber. It's about the same price. And it's a big, big business. A lot of money made. I love to watch the game, and I'm very mindful of the business behind the game. And the business behind the game, it's a beautiful thing, man. They get you convinced that football isn't just a great sport. It's the savior of America. It's the end-all, the be-all. It's church. For a lot of us, it is. But Charger fans, nah. No, they'll just go in there, and they'll sit down, and they'll ask your permission to cheer. Well, as long as it isn't too loud. Okay, it is my home stadium. I just thought I'd... Well, okay. I'm rooting for the Jets myself.
I understand. I can see by your hat. I just wanted to... I really like San Diego and, you know, and that breeze and those guys. And
yeah, well, you know, you're bugging me, but go ahead. This is how you can cheer. Go, yay,
yay. That's about how...
Good. Look, they just scored a touchdown. Go ahead, cheer.
Yay.
Good. All right, that's enough. Otherwise, don't bug me. Why don't you go back to your Adobe hut and grow some avocados? Our website is www.philhenryshow.com. It's The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Very happy to report that coming back Friday night on our countdown to kickoff in the National Football League, Joe Dickhead and the Professor, and tomorrow evening Margaret Gray continues with her campaign 2004 report. Now here is something that, well, this is special. There was some art hanging in the Denver International Airport. It was a part of an exhibit called The Luggage Project. It's just art that's hanging in an airport. And guess what it was containing? Suitcases with razor blades attached to them. All right. Now, that's not... I can't think of anything to make me feel more comfortable as a potential customer and flyer than walking into an airport and seeing a piece of art with a luggage and razor blades and box cutters. And then there was another one that said, Blood for Oil, Billionaires for Bush. Okay, that's cool. That's good. So in other words, let's keep, when we're traveling via airline, let's remember all about terrorism. Nothing like making you feel more comfortable traveling. So naturally, some people complained, and the group that was putting this thing on, they're all bummed out because their freedom of speech, they ain't got none. According to Madeline Hatz, who created the second suitcase, because she am an artist. Art is controversial, and we have a right to freedom of speech. I bet you they interviewed her for like 2 hours, and she thought it was going to be an in-depth piece on 60 Minutes, and that's the only line they took out of it. I bet she had all of her friends. She called up all of her buddies and said, you just have to read the Associated Press tomorrow. They interviewed me for 3 hours. Oh, it's in-depth. It's all about my life and my work and my art and everything. It's just all the rage. And I bet you she had them all over for dunking pound cake and sniffing scented handkerchiefs. And they just sat around, and they ran down, and they got 90 million copies of the newspaper, and there was just the one line, art is controversial, and I am have a right to free speech, she said. And now she's probably going to sue Associated Press, because they made her look really boring, which she most probably is. I mean, nothing against Madeline Hatz and her brilliant art. I mean, what is that? In other words... Yeah, we want to put some art in a airport. Oh, okay. How about, I got it, box cutters. Okay, that's I'm with that. Now, you know what, man? You really think outside the box. Aviation co-manager Vicky Brownell said she removed the pieces July the 9th, the day from the 43-piece glass-enclosed exhibit opened on a walkway that comes before the security screening area. Oh, come on, man. That comes before the security screening area, and it's an art piece with box cutters. Why don't they just put a machine gun there and a guy in a mask? I know. How about this? How about a guy, Osama bin Laden says, have a nice day. How about that? I'd hang that in the, they got to be out of their minds. Let's go to the phones here. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Jeff.
Yes, Phil. My name is Jeff Dowder. I'm with Alternative Art Project USA, and I was listening with some interest to your comments just a moment ago about the art that is in the Denver airport.
Well, if you're an artist, do you agree with this?
Well, a lot of ways I do, yeah, because it is free speech.
But do you agree, sir, with putting box cutters? Wouldn't this scare the people that are flying to see a piece of art containing box cutters and razor blades?
Well, the public that's flying needs to have their eyes open. So you have to understand art, and you probably are not, because you're a talk show host, you don't know. Art opens your mind to possibilities.
What, the possibility of getting hijacked?
Yeah, that's your mind should be open to it so you can be aware of it, so that when it's happening, you're fully actualized to the hijacking itself and to the coming terrorism of it. And that way, when they do fly the plane into a mountain or a building or into a silo or something, you're going out with just totally, you're right with God, man. And so,
what are you talking about, sir? People when they fly should at least be made to feel like they're in the secure hands of not only the airport but the airlines and the security people. What is the point of blood for oil, billionaires for Bush?
Well, that's probably something you're not going to understand. You know.
Well, try me. I'll think about it.
Well, if you're flying, you ought to be reminded of the fact that somebody will take over the plane and blow it up. Because of Bush. So if it gets blowed up, then you'll say, yeah, cool, you know, Bush did it, you know.
Oh, yeah, cool. I'm getting what did you say, blowed up?
I mean, blown it up. And it
blown it up? Are you an artist, sir?
Yes, I am.
You didn't go to, are you playing ping pong?
Oh, yes, sir, I am, right now, yeah.
You're playing a game of ping pong and you're talking to me. You're the second guest I've had on my show who can play ping pong and talk on a talk show.
It just kind of helps me keep my vital. But the reason why I called is that Art Project USA fully endorses this kind of art. Nice shot. This kind of art.
Maybe you can put the ping pong game up, man, while you're talking to me.
No, I'm up $3. This kind of art, and we do have projects. We're going to be putting one into the Women's Health Clinic in Buffalo, New York, which is a beautiful piece. It's called Sunrise in the East. And it features a coat hanger sticking through a baby's head. Now, one of the things...
Wait a minute, man. You're going to put that...
That's going to be at the women's clinic.
At the women's clinic in Buffalo, New York?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, yeah. And, yeah, I can understand how you not get it, because you're not an artist. And
well, what's to get, Jack? A women's clinic with a coat hanger and a baby's head?
Yeah, to comment on the whole, you know, women's thing.
What? Okay. I want you to...
Let me explain it to you, Mr. Ray. There's a daycare center that we've been contracted to work with, and we have been able to acquire pieces of John Wayne Gacy's art. And
John Wayne Gacy, the serial murderer that killed kids and threw them under his house.
Exactly.
In a daycare center.
Yeah.
So I got box cutters at an airport, I got a coat hanger through a baby's head, and I got John Wayne Gacy's art hanging in a daycare center?
Well, you don't. The people that bought it. But if you'd like, we can send you a brochure.
No, that's fine.
Oh, cool. I win. So anyway...
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, send me a brochure, man. I can't wait for that. Hi, welcome to the Women's Clinic. And you're led past an art piece with a coat hanger and a baby's head and a vacuum. But it's art. What, you know, you got to... 1-800-449-8... Yeah?
Oh, one other thing. The piece with the coat hanger through the baby's head is called Sunrise in the West, as I said, and it's been marked down from $10,000 to $25. It's from my blue period.
This freaking guy's playing ping pong. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, it's art. And you know what? Sometimes you need to have your world rocked, don't you? That's right. You got to be reminded of what this world is about and who the real culprits are and what the real problem is. It isn't you. It isn't the airlines. It's probably Bush. And it's probably, you know, I don't know. It's it ain't Bin Laden, man. Bin Laden's going to be waving to you, have a nice day, as you're getting on a plane there at Denver Airport. I bet you they're going to have a big statue of Bin Laden there at Denver Airport with the big thumbs up going, yeah, with his beard, and he's probably wearing a San Diego Padre hat. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, what's up with that terror scare in New York? My wife calls me from Chicago. I got all confused this weekend because Maria was gone, and the kids were gone, and I keep myself fully insulated from all news when I'm just trying to chill and when I'm just trying to have a little vacation time. And she calls me from Chicago and says, there's been a terror alert in the financial district. I don't know if I'll be able to get out of here, even though I'm in Chicago. It's in New York. And what do you know? And what happened? Well, they had some kind of a threat. Al-Qaeda's going to do this and that and something else. And they're probably making it all up, honey. They're probably making it all up to justify the expense of the Homeland Security office. Oh, okay. Thank you. And she got off the phone, and she went swimming in the Chicago River, so she's fine. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm gonna do a Margaret Gray flashback here. Margaret's going to be talking about the Democratic National Convention last week and how she felt that John Kerry is the best possible candidate because he was able to see the enemy's side of things. He dealt with the enemy with compassion. And sometimes it was better just to go back up to a lagoon and drink a beer and think about things before you actually engaged in battle. What is your name, sir?
Phil, my name is Warren,
Well, how many last names do you have?
Well, it's funny, I've got one on my passport, and my artist name is Warren Charles, but the one on my passport is Brunagel.
Why do you have two different names?
Well, one is for artistic reasons.
Okay, you are with the Artist Colony of San Francisco, correct?
Yes.
And what is this?
Well, this is what I think we're trying to say to you and others like you who don't understand the project presently in Denver. We are enabling people to see a multitude of sides to any issue and to any aspect of life, and that's what our art represents.
Okay, well, this is a photograph you've given me, right?
Yes, it is, Phil. This photograph is called The Call of the Wild. And
what is it supposed to represent?
Well, the innocence of nature and the animal kingdom.
The innocence of nature in the animal kingdom is called The Call of the Wild.
Yes.
Okay, what I'm looking at is a photograph here of a package of pork chops. So,
yes.
So in other words, this is The Call of the Wild, huh? This animal has been slaughtered and turned into food.
Well, yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar on that. But I think there's a beauty to it. That
if I want to have something to eat, man, it isn't going to make me hungry looking at this. And if I want to appreciate nature, I'm looking at pork chops. This is a pig that got slaughtered and is ready for breakfast.
Well, would it help to know that after we took the picture, we took the pork chops back to the supermarket?
You didn't want to eat them?
No, sir.
All right, well, thank you very much, Warren Brunagel.
Well, no, my artist name.
Yeah, your artist name is Warren Charles. All right, Margaret Gray with us. John Kerry, the best possible presidential candidate because Even in Vietnam, he was able to understand the enemy's side of things.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
How could anybody say we deserved 9/11? We're going to have a president who's going to say we deserve 9/11. What did we need that commission for to assess blame if we deserve 9/11? Is that what he's going to do in the White House?
John Kerry will have the dignity to be disgusted with himself.
He should be disgusted with himself.
But he's also...
Kerry is not a man. While other people were braving fire in the Viet Cong, he was on a lagoon drinking beer? Is that what he's going to do in the White House?
Hannah, John Kerry is compassionate enough to be not only disgusted with himself...
Oh, he's compassionate enough to know how to run away from battle with dignity?
See, that's what you're saying.
Drinking beer in a lagoon while his fellow soldiers are braving fire?
No. He didn't do that. Yes, of course he went into battle, but there were times when he felt sorry for the Viet Cong.
A soldier disobeying orders if he was doing that, and the soldier's job is to obey orders.
What about if he felt sorry for the Viet Cong?
Excuse me, if the United States had sat back to say why the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor, we'd be speaking Japanese, German, and we wouldn't be insulting people the way you did.
World War II veterans. You kill me. Everything's about the world, the Second World War.
What about the Vietnam? I have friends who were conscientious objectors in Vietnam, but they didn't go there and help the Viet Cong or run away from battle.
And they wouldn't do it
in the White House either.
How
can we have a man in the White House who is, if somebody attacks us, he's going to sit back and call 25,000 people in and say, what do you think they wanted from us? Wasn't it enough that 3,000 people got killed there who did nothing but go to work that day?
Absolutely,
we should have
attacked Al-Qaeda. Yes, we should have. But why should we have to sit there with our fingers locked in within each other, sit on the edge of the bed and stare at the floor and feel depressed about what we did to deserve it? Yes.
What do you mean?
We did nothing to deserve it. We were attacked by a band of Muslim idiots.
Can I tell you something? Before I flew to Boston, you know what I did? I watched Apocalypse Now. I watched to see what my John F. Kerry went through in Vietnam.
John F. Kerry and thousands of other American soldiers who fought with bravery and earned the things they got. John F. Kerry is a coward, and he's a liar, and he's been on two sides of every single position there is. If this man's going to sit back and assess, he's going to assess what their feelings about us. Isn't it enough to know that 3,000 people got killed, innocent people who went to work that day?
So I want to be clear. You'd begrudge a man a cold beer in a lagoon on a hot day.
Yes, you're right, I do.
In the middle of a freaking battle?
Imagine.
You know, the things you're saying about John Kerry, you want to go?
You don't think it's safe, you want to go?
You know what that means, don't you?
I can say one thing about John Kerry.
You want to throw down?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You want to go. Margaret Gray, you want to throw down? Don't begrudge a man a cold beer in a lagoon. Boy, there are a few words in the English language that I'm as in love with as lagoon. That's solid. How'd you like to live on a lagoon, swim in a lagoon, boat on a lagoon? Don't we have any lagoons around here? No, we got lakes. Where are the lagoons? Lagoon conjures the image of like a chick with flowers in her hair bringing you a chichi or a gin and tonic. Yeah, I know. It reminds you of a creature in the lagoon, something that lives there. What? So what? So if the thing comes out and, like, murders a few people? Gilligan's Island had a lagoon, and look how much fun they had, I guess. Man, if I never see that show again. God, the nostalgia for that show has gone way over the top. Talk about riding the shark or whatever the hell that is. What's that thing called?
Jumping the shark.
You jump the freaking shark on that one. That show is done. Those cats, man, they made a good career. But you know what? Good for them. The point is, they brought to our attention the lagoon. God, I love it so. 1-800-449-8686. Grab a Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. You can buy it online or at our website. Or call 1-877-616-7445. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report, the lady you just heard last segment there, that segment talking about John Kerry and having his cold beer in the lagoon. She'll be on to talk more tomorrow night. And on Wednesday night, Don't Do It, Jay, as we machine gun Leno one more time for saying the very predictable, I'm an equal opportunity offender. We make fun of Bush and Kerry equally. Oh, my God. If he says it again, the machine gun won't be good enough. I'm bringing in that shock and awe. And then Friday's countdown to kickoff with Joe Dickhead and the professor. Did you hear some guy wants to put Reagan's kisser up on Mount Rushmore? Oh, please, dude. Some Congress, you know, it's no big thing. These guys, they float these suggestions. It's an election year, I guess, is what they call it. Never have I ever really taken seriously the whole idea of electioneering or sort of election year pork barrel ideas. You know, I used to sort of take that with a grain of salt because I like to believe that our representatives mean well. But this cat's got to be, this guy needs some effexor. This guy needs to be on Librium. You're going to put Reagan's face up on Mount Rushmore? You can't decide whether a man's great or not. You got to let like 50 years go by. Although the guy that put Mount Rushmore was built in 27 and Roosevelt was still alive. Oh, well. The guy that, can you imagine what kind of a country this was at one time where we loved our president so much that some guy went up and chiseled their faces into granite? Today, you'd be laughed out of that. You'd be laughed off the planet. They'd think you were nuts if you said, I'd like to do a sculpture of all of the American presidents on the side of a mountain. Man, they would put you in a soft room so fast, you wouldn't have the use of your arms for days. And this guy who did Mount Rushmore, wasn't he some Swedish immigrant? He went over there, he chiseled that thing, it took him about 900 grand to do it, and they, you know, it took him a long time to raise the bread. 14 years, but he got it done. And now they want to put Reagan up there? They stick Reagan's face up there, and that's liable the whole mountain might come down. Now, I got nothing against Ronald Reagan. He's a nice guy, but can we let a little time pass before we beatify him, too, along with Paris Hilton? I got it. How about putting Paris Hilton's face up there? Instead, why don't we put Paris's, well, not her face, but...
Violence against women is wrong.
That wasn't violent. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Did they kill another hostage? They killed another hostage, huh? See what George Bush did? So anyway, I'm telling my good friend Mr. Newman, because he asked me, what about that horse you guys bought? Now, when he says you guys, what he means is me and my friends from high school, of which I've got 6 or 7 really close buddies. I still golf with them. Well, I don't golf anymore. I use the excuse because my back's thrown out, but actually I stink, and I always have. But now I can say, no, I can't because, you know, I twisted my back that one time, and ow. Anyway, we play cards, and we got inspired last year. There was a group of high school friends that bought a horse that went on to run in the Kentucky Derby. I forget the name of the horse. So we bought one. We put our money together, and for $10,000, we got this horse named Hot Contest. And you know how visions of grandeur begin to dance like so many sugar plums in your head? You see yourself standing there in the winner's circle at the Kentucky Derby. You know, at least I did. I see myself standing there with those clowns, whatever those guys are from NBC. Who are those two guys, you know? Let's go down to the frickin' frack down there.
I like Hot Contest. I think the horse is up. Had a wonderful workout. 6 furlongs. Great time. The track is going to give him problems, though. And the jockey, Angelo De Torres, he's a master at this kind of condition. I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, sure you do, pal. Horse finishes 50 lengths back. And then they have the other guy, and he... Well, you know something, Eddie? You're so full of garbage, your eyes are just a deep... liquid brown. What I think is, attaboy Binky. Yeah, that horse has really done some wonderful things. 2nd in the Belmonte Stakes, 3rd in the Del Monte Stake, and 4th in the Delmonico Stake. And 5th in the Sirloin Stake. Now, anyway, all right, back to you guys. Boy, you guys suck down there, huh? So I'm seeing myself there in a winner's circle, and, you know, I'm having a beer. And now let's talk to Phil Hendry, the owner of Sally's Nag. Phil, how you doing?
Well, I'm just great, Ed. Thank you. And this has been the marvelous time.
You're from California, aren't you?
Well, not so as you notice. Well, we got ourselves a great horse. We're taking him up to the Arlington Million. It's going to be a swinging time, baby. Me and all of my buddies.
Yeah, that was what was dancing in my head as we bought Hot Contest. Well, guess what? You know, the horse was never healthy. He had a bad hoof or a bad leg or something was wrong with him. His head was bad. I think he needed psychoanalysis more than anything else. So you put him in what's called a claimer, and we got him claimed for 20 G's, so we made another 10 grand. And we've been sitting around now for the last 6 months waiting for our very dear friend, T.R. Bell, who is one of my friends from high school, and Ray, Tom Bell, Jr. Actually, Tom Bell III is his name. His dad's Tom Bell, Jr., which I guess...
That makes his grandfather...
Tom Bell.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Good for you, bud. You got that... Man, you are quick. No, that makes his grandfather Mary Bell.
Or he's a boy.
So anyway, the guy is looking around for a new horse to buy. And in the meantime, and do you know anything about owning horses? I mean, this is not cheap. Oh, my God. You think, well, what's a horse? You know, you buy a horse, stick him in a stable. Yeah, stick him in a stable. They got to eat the only finest of the fine hay. You got to ship the hay in from Madagascar. You got to have vet services all the time. Got to make sure this, got to make sure that. I mean, it's, you know, you might as well be, you might as well own a sports car. Well, it's worse than that. You might as well own Jose Canseco. No, in fact, the horse is easier than Canseco. At least the horse stays clean, you know. At least the horse isn't a complete psycho. Plus, the only thing that's similar, really, to owning a horse, and if you were to own Jose Canseco, you got to hire a guy to clean up the crap either way. And so anyway, we don't have the nag now. We're waiting around to buy a new one. And we got this little money. It's just a little bit of bread that we got in a bank account that two of the guys in the group can sign on. And the way we figured it is, if you got a group of guys, and we have a partnership, which we registered, if you have a group of guys and you need to write a veterinarian bill for a horse, what are you going to do? Call all seven or eight guys to make sure it's cool? Yeah, some of these guys, you know, they're late with their money, whatever. So you got to give the money power to two guys. Say, look, when we need to have something done, you guys go ahead and write the check. We'll give you the power to do that, right? But in the back of your mind, you're a little suspicious. In the back of your mind, you think they're going to run off to Brazil until you realize all you got in that bank account's about 15 grand. Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna have a high time down there, man, on 15 G's. Guys all... I don't know, I don't trust you. It's $15,000, man. What do you don't trust me? I think we should all sign on the account. Wait, okay, let's all sign on the account, all right? Hey, listen, man, I need, like, 10 bucks for liniment oil for the horse. Okay, let's call Eddie and Joe. Bob will be home at 10. Make sure we get everybody on the line so we can approve a $10 charge. But, in any event, it's a dream, and because, as I said, if there's one thing I'd really like to do, I'd like to stand down in that winner's circle with a big horseshoe of flowers around my neck, some blonde from Maxim magazine hanging on my arm, and, you know, another one on the other arm. And you know how those guys drink the milk after the Indy 500? Not me. And I got a Manhattan the size of the Stanley Cup. And I'm sitting there, and they're, here's the owner now of Eddie's, whatever the hell we call a horse. You know, we'll call him something like, I think I'll name a horse, instead of like a horse, I'll name it after like a cat. We'll name the horse Snowball, or Boots. Here's the owner of Boots now, Mr. Henry. Phil, how does it feel? Well, it's a hell of a deal. But I think what we'll do is we'll put him up to stud, whatever that means. And then what we'll do is we'll burn the barn down. I don't know. I don't know anything about horses, but this is great. Did you ever think this moment would happen? Sure I did. All the time, man. I just need a little more reefer and it really get going in me. But no, I'm really happy. The jockey here is, boy, he's small, isn't he? Yeah, he's about 3'2". Well, it's nice to meet you, whoever the hell you are. Where is he, by the way? He's right there. You're standing on him. Oh! The great Chris McCarron is your jockey. Oh, yeah, Chris, great guy.
We don't like your show, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. That's the only reason why we hired him. He digs the show. And after that, we'll take him out to Santa Anita for the Derby. And, well, what's the whole thing you call it Seabiscuit, though? Isn't that kind of uncool? Well, what's wrong with that? I saw a movie once about a horse. Well, it was another horse named Seabiscuit. Well, I'm calling my horse Seabiscuit. You can't do that, by the way. You can't call a horse anything. If there's been a name like that, you can't. You want to know why there's so many weird horse names? It's because once a name is registered, you can never again use it. Seabiscuit can never again be used. So you got to start thinking. I bet you the very first horses were names like John and Fred. But, you know, horse racing's been around for so long that all those names got used up. They went to Gertrude and Maxine, and that got used up. And then they went to Snowball, you know, Snowball and Boots and, you know, Rufus or whatever.
Why you should call it Seabiscuit 2?
Because it ain't a boat. Seabiscuit 2. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I would. I don't think you can call, you can't use any, like, Seabiscuit's offspring, one was named Sea Orbit. And I think another one was called C-Spot Run something. So you can't use, and that's why now, in the year 2004, you got some of the goofiest freaking names, Smarty Jones. Now they're just going back to, like, human names, but they're kind of off-human names, like Sally's Last Foray, you could call him C-Biz Cut. You could just spill it different, or spell it different. The Hill Rise, what the hell does that mean, Hill Rise? But that's why, so our horse was Hot Contest, and as soon as we bought the horses, I don't want to change the name. You can't change the name. Once a horse has that name, you always have that name. You can't, it's like being, not even a horse has the dignity of what a human can have, which is I can go to court and get my name changed. I could have my name changed to Bud Dickman, and then I could kill you, Bud.
That's not funny.
I don't care. A horse can't do that. So like I said, it's a dream, and one of these days, I'm sure the dream will come true. Yeah, right. Anyway, if it starts costing too much money, I guess we're going to bail, because bail as in hay, because sooner or later, you just got to give up some of these, but everything's an investment for me. I don't have any hobbies. I got no hobbies. Everything that I try in this life, I'm trying to make a couple of dollars. I'm just trying to squeeze a few bucks out of this world before I croak. So if I can make it on the horse flesh, I only know how to make money on things that I like. And I'm never going to own horses unless I'm owning it with like 9, 10 different guys. So that's what we got going on. Who knows? You know, it could be one hell of a party. I mean, what could be better? A bunch of guys that you play cards with, people that you like, and you win the freaking Kentucky Derby or some big ass race like that. And then you're partying all night long in one of them big Louisville hotel suites, smoking a big fat cigar. Man, I'd put on a string tie for that one. I'd be sucking down the mint juleps. I'd get the whole Big Daddy act going on. You got that right. I put on that funny-looking top hat with the tails going, Miss Charlotte, why don't we all mosey over to the barn? Do the whole foghorn-leghorn thing just for 5 minutes in that kind of a world. Man, I love that. And the racetrack, the best people watching in the world. And talk about beautiful women. Also ugly women, but some of the finest-looking women you're ever going to see in your life are at the track. The racetrack. Horse racing. Yeah, I know it ain't sitting at the slot machine throwing in the nickels and hoping all the three big cherries come up. You know, I have to know a little bit about, like, reading a racing form and betting, but, man, it's a fun place. It's a great place to go. And poor old Santa Anita, man, it's like a haunted house now. I grew up out in Arcadia. I used to see that place when they had 80,000 people for a race. 80,000 people packing into that joint. They got a $25, $30 million handle. That means $25 million passed through the mutual windows. People betting $25 million in one place. And now you go out to Santa Anita, you know what they're having? They're having to put in, like, merry-go-rounds and crap. I don't know about Santa Anita, but some of these racetracks, they're having to stick in things like, you know, all kinds of goofy bets, like, you know, pick the top six horses out of seven and you'll win. Hey, great. I could win that. And then, if you get bored with the horse racing, they've got slot machines. They want to put casinos in these places. It's going to turn, I don't know, it'll probably make money. I think I'll invest in that. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, life. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Tomorrow night, Margaret Gray will join us with the Margaret Gray Campaign Report. She is on the trail of the campaign, the different campaigns, Kerry's and Bush's. She's been she's been interviewing John Kerry and President Bush, and she'll be talking with us her observations, her feelings, her innermost rumblings, her digestive problems, her heart condition, anything having to do with her, I'm sure she'll be happy to just blather on about. And that'll be on tomorrow night. And then we have Don't Do It, Jay, Wednesday night, and Countdown to Kickoff with Joe Dickhead on Friday night's show, as well as, of course, a reminder that our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, and that's when we get into our mailbag, so we'll see what people are, you know, writing about. And I know that there's so much going on. It's like flipping everybody out. The campaign and the terror alerts. And like this guy, this Sandeep Sahani is this cat's name. He's a Boston College student of Indian heritage. And anyway, he wears a beard and a turban. And he was detained and interrogated for 7 hours by Secret Service agents for taking pictures on the campus. He said he believes the Secret Service agents singled him out because of his appearance. Now, he's a Sikh. Those are the guys that wear the turbans and the beards. Sikhs are Indian. Now, I know that India sounds kind of spooky, but they're actually allies of ours. As far as allies go these days, you never know. We think about India, and we're thinking about some skinny guy blowing a horn and a snake coming out of a basket, and the whole thing is real, kind of, like I say, very mysterious, but they're all right. They're cool. I mean, they beat those Pakis. I'm kidding. I don't mean to call them Pakis. They are, Pakis are Muslim, though. And well, anyway. He is a leader in four campus organizations, and his family originally is from India. He said he's used to being stopped because of his appearance. He said the Secret Service suggested he was a criminal. Well, he said that's his feeling anyway. They searched him and his car, and one told him, I don't want you pulling an Uzi from your turban. I guess he didn't think that was funny. That's pretty obvious the guy was kidding. Secret Service refused to meet with college officials or apologize. And again, this was at Boston College. You know, it's kind of, it's for me, it's a difficult one to deal with because, and anybody that says Arab Americans are being unfairly targeted, they just want to be angry. They really want to find a serious problem where there probably isn't one. I mean, there probably is not a serious problem. And by serious, I mean a racist intent to single out dark-skinned men. And, you know, we've tried to explain it because there is a definition. There actually is a definition. And isn't that cool to know that there's a definition of who they're looking for? I mean, I wish people would know it. I wish there would be more reporting of it. There's actually a clear definition of when they look at some guy in a turban with a beard, or they look at some cat with a bed towel on his head, or a bath towel on his head. I don't know. Is there such a thing as a bed towel? I suppose. that they aren't just looking for any dark-skinned, swarthy man of Middle Eastern appearance. There is a definition, and that's, you know, they haven't even gotten around to talking about that. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's in real estate today. You know what she said? She said, now listen to this. She goes, do you realize that houses today are entirely affordable and the interest rates are entirely in line, but people are listening to what's being reported about rising interest rates, and so they've stopped looking for houses. She said, my business dried up, and I got great deals right here. I got great deals on the line. So in other words, and I said to her, you know, the business I'm in broadcasting, and I try to remind my audience to think for themselves. I really do. But it's tough. It's tough, because you look at a newspaper, and they tell you this, and you say, well, I got to believe it. It can't. It's got to be true. It's in the paper, right? Well, not necessarily so. See, they got this definition. If you're in the United States on a student visa from a country that has given diplomatic status to terrorist organizations, for instance, Syria and the late, great Saddam Hussein's Iraq. And what do I mean by diplomatic status? It means, let's say, Joe Blow's terror organization, where they run around machine gunning like 14-year-old girls, you give them an office. Syria has offices throughout Damascus for all these organizations. So if you're here on a student visa from a terror-sponsoring country. And that also includes Saudi Arabia, by the way, believe it or not. And you are between the ages of 19 and 33, and you are male. There you go. Now, nobody knows that because the hysteria, well, you know, it's gone beyond anything you can explain. Everybody thinks now that every single Arab American Arab American, not even Americans. I'm talking about like guys from another country. So this dude with the bedsheet on his head and the big full beard, he's like an Indian dude. And while he was interrogated, he wasn't arrested. He wasn't arrested. I don't know about you though, bud.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8.